The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
I'm saying I think that Trey's a intelligent Trey. Guy, and he knows not to get involved in any kind of teddy top between me and you.
If you're the woman, if you're the woman at the end of The Good Son, and you've got Macaulay Culkin, spoiler alert, and Elijah Wood, it doesn't matter who's I'm in one arm, Bear's in the other. You can save one of us; the other one, you got to let plummet to their bloody death. You don't even have to think about it.
I don't take days off as
Bear's
much as
going,
you
see,
do.
But I could see him somehow. I can see him somehow living.
Surviving.
And coming back and terrorizing
me. I'll take that as long as you pull me up, buddy. That's all that matters.
That was a creepy scene in that movie.
It was, wasn't
it? Never seen it.
Oh, man. That's a...
It's a modern-day Sophie's Choice.
Who was the other kid? It was Macaulay Culkin.
And Elijah Wood.
Yep. And he killed Macaulay Culkin.
Spoiler alert.
Whatever.
Spoiler
alert. 30-year-old movie.
I never wanted to see Culkin in that kind of mode.
She just looks at, she's trying to decide what can she do, and Macaulay's like, save me, mommy, please, I love you. But he's already proven himself to be just the spawn of Satan. And Elijah Wood, the good son, he's dangling there, not saying anything. He knows what a difficult decision this must be. And what does she do? She looks at her son one last time, looks him in the eye, closes her eyes, looks away, and lets go, and lets her biological son fall to his bloody death.
But Elijah Wood wasn't the biological son, right?
No, he wasn't. Yeah. But, I mean, she had to make the choice. She had to make the choice.
That's tough.
Choice every mother, well, most mothers have never even really thought of, but...
Who you keeping, Dooley or Butch?
No, that's not a good comparison. It would be...
You got to keep one bad job.
It would be... I don't know. Cody and Rick.
Whoa.
Yeah. But like Cody's your brother. Cody's your biological brother.
I'm hanging on to Rick.
And Rick is Rick from Texas.
Rick's going to bounce.
No, I mean, like you got to, I don't know. Now we're comparing Cody to, this is not a game I want to play. Not a road I want to go down.
Rick.
Somebody's going to get their feelings hurt if they haven't already. Happy Friday. Congratulations. You have made it. Another weekend upon us. Big show today, man. Big show. We've got the legendary Eddie George set to join us.
Yeah.
Hour number three of the show. Just announced this week having his number retired by my Titans. And Bear, I want to begin today with an apology, by the way. Bear's in a foul mood. I sprung something on him last minute.
I'm fine now.
He's calmed down. Bear, I want to humbly apologize to you.
I'm sorry.
For what? For being an ass.
No.
He'll never apologize.
It's very specific.
For that.
Not just my general jerkishness.
Yeah.
Very specifically. Yesterday, when you open the door a little bit to maybe jumping back on the Tennessee Titans bandwagon, I reacted very harshly. I reacted negatively. I shut the door on you. I said no. You abandon us through the rough times. You're not hopping back on the good times. You know what? That was wrong of me. I shouldn't have done that. I humbly, deeply regret my actions. I apologize.
I'm sorry.
Bear,
hop back on.
If you want to jump back on the Tennessee Titans bandwagon, the time is now. The transfer window is open. Come on in, my friend. The water's fine.
I mean, I'm going to make a decision in the next 2 weeks. I'm going to take some time when I'm on vacation to really ponder it. The Titans made the first move they towards, you know, the detente with me by retiring my all-time favorite quarterback, Steve McNair's number.
I mean, your team, first of all, your team, Washington, has a terribly continent and our world. Terrible thing, first of all. You don't want to be associated with professional sports. Your franchise is a dumpster fire. You have the lesser known, the genetic leftover Gruden.
I love Tennessee.
You don't want to be a fan of that team anymore. you want to come on back to the South where the food is better, the people are friendlier, we've got better colors. Come on, the two-tone blue, my friend. We got a jersey somewhere with your name on it.
I mean, it's definitely – this is as close as I've ever come to, just to even consider it.
What are you going to do, a scouting report when you're on vacation?
Well, no, I mean, you don't understand, man. There was no bigger Steve McNair fan on the planet than me when he was with the Titans. Okay. And when they sent him to our arch rival,
Baltimore,
I cursed, I spit on the ground, and swore that I would never root for them ever again.
Were you that mad when D-Maze went to the Ravens?
I mean, I didn't like it, but I mean, D-Mason and I love Mason, but I mean, Steve McNair probably shortened his career by 4 or 5 years making plays for us.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I think he played a game with like a broken collarbone or something.
No, it's
like
broken sternum. Unless you really have watched a ton of football, that was one of the most brutal hits I've ever seen anybody take.
Last half of the season, like he didn't practice at all. He just showed up on game day and played and like took the Titans into the playoffs. I think he might have been MVP that year. There was a year he and Peyton were co-MVPs.
Yeah, I think that was that year. I mean, he was a winner. Winners win, losers lose. Steve McNair, winner.
Guess that's why they kept his picture up all that time at Nissan Stadium.
So you need 2 weeks. That's what you're saying?
I want to, you know.
At some point, like, again, I'm offering an olive branch. This is pretty big for me, right?
You know,
I'm humbling
Russell,
myself right now.
I realize it, and I appreciate that, and I understand what a big step it is for you to act like a normal human being when it involves me.
I'm sorry.
But, I don't really care whether or not you say I can be a fan. If I decide that I'm going to mend those fences and come home, then it's got nothing to do with you.
Are you taking bribes?
Well, I'm just saying, like, at some point, you're going to have to – I don't want this to turn into, like, a wishy-washy thing.
It won't. I'm not going to say another word about it until I make my announcement the Monday after my vacation. I'll tell you then.
If he comes back, don't we need to know maybe before you go?
What?
What if you don't come back from your vacation?
Then y'all will never know.
You're taking a vacation.
I can't live with that hanging over my head. I got to know.
Over here,
I got to know. Like Tom Petty said, I need to know. If you think you're going to leave, then just say so. I need to know.
I don't know. I'm stunned that they've I'm being serious. Now, I'm really surprised that they're finally doing this. Do you think it would have already been done if you know, Steve, if McNair's life hadn't tragically ended the way it did.
Let's ask Eddie George in hour three.
Ah, man, I'm not asking a friend of his something like that, man. Not on the air, no.
I'll ask him.
No, don't do that, man. No.
Wait, what's the question?
You won't.
What's the question? What are you wondering? Would they have retired it earlier if he were still alive?
Or if he hadn't
circumstances surrounding
his death?
Yeah, I mean, if he had, like, died in a plane crash or something.
I think it would have already been retired.
Sure.
6 months after the
season. But I would, you know, one of you guys ask him about, you know, I'm assuming you guys are planning on asking him some about McNair.
Sure.
Just about his toughness.
Sure. We will talk to Eddie George coming up in hour number three of the show. NBA Finals last night.
Amazing.
The Raptors win the first NBA title. It's the first major sports title for the city of Toronto since Joe Carter's walk-off 1993 home run against Wild Thing Mitch Williams.
Is that who gave that up?
Oh, yeah.
26 years.
Oh, yeah.
Well, belly button and back.
You know who?
Bacon grease.
It was a three-run shot by Joe Carter. Mm-hmm. Do you know who was the first guy on that inning for the Blue Jays?
What year was this, Russell?
1993.
Luis
Do you
Gonzalez.
Really think I can remember anything from 1993?
Hall of Famer.
Rod Carew.
No.
No.
Ricky Henderson.
Really?
Yep.
Former Nashville Sounds coach.
Ricky Henderson walked to lead off that inning. Devin White got a hit. Or no,
Did Ricky
Paul Molitor.
Steal the base?
Paul Molitor,
What Toronto do? Just buy a team that year?
I mean, they
ended
made
up
good
with,
moves.
They ended up
they
with Molitor, Ricky Henderson.
A couple of former Knoxville Blue Jays on that team. Yeah, I mean, they had a solid farm system.
Did you ever get to see Ricky play live?
I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe.
You never got to see Ricky?
I mean, he played for so many teams.
He had a good promising career ahead of him, man. He just went down the wrong street.
Ricky Henderson? Well, I mean, he had his issues, but I mean he's the all-time stolen base king. He had a great career.
Making a bad reference to Boys in the Hood.
It went over my head. Was there a character named Ricky Henderson in that?
No, it was named Ricky.
Oh.
Huh.
Y'all never seen Boys in the Hood?
Yeah.
It just went over my head.
It's been a minute. Raptors win their first title. And this was a like, it's funny, too, because Bear went on his, I don't like that style of basketball, old man rant yesterday.
They got caught out.
And for three quarters, that was like one of the,
That was a great game.
It was epic. And then it just evolved into dark comedy in the last quarter. I mean, that was just awful play. The Warriors, I guess, are doing their best with what they had to work with, but the Raptors just trying to choke it away.
The goaltending non-calls.
Terrible officiating.
Didn't help.
Awful officiating on both sides of the – just a complete train wreck that game.
I mean, what about the bizarre black irony that a former Michigan State Spartan pulled the Chris Webber?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about it like that.
Yeah.
That one's not as worse, though.
Yeah, Weber's was worse. Way worse.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, like,
I think Draymond's is worse because he's in the NBA.
Draymond had to do that. If he, the announcer said, if he doesn't do that, clock expires or it's a turnover and they lose. Like, Michigan, I can't remember the exact circumstances, but they could have won. That was for the championship. Like, they still could have won
it up
at that
point. Draymond Green. I don't like that guy. I don't like the Warriors.
Oh!
I don't like Steph Curry. I don't like Klay Thompson. I don't like any of them.
Why wouldn't you like
Steph? I don't
like
their stupid gym, the O-Town. I don't like their – Steph?
Yeah, why wouldn't you like Steph?
He's a pretty boy. I just don't like him. I'm glad the Raptors won. I'm glad the guy, old Stinky.
See, I think the Warriors did an about-face during the tournament. I think when KD went down –
Since management kind of put the pressure on Kevin Durant,
I think it was a baby face heel turn.
Nah.
Yeah.
No, I could see that. Like when the Warriors were first getting good, when they first got Steph and Klay, and they were young and they were making all the threes, it was kind of like there was a cute factor to it, and there was a hip factor to it. It was a bandwagon people wanted to get on. And then once they won their championship, and once they got KD, it was like, oh, well, now you guys got the cheat code, and people started hating on them.
Right, but then I think in the game where KD went down, I think it switched. I think fans started appreciating the Warriors. Like, I think it switched back to people liking them.
Oh, I think
a lot of people wanted the Raptors to win last night.
I get that point of it.
Yeah, I think people were
just – a lot of
people
like change, too.
Yeah, I think people were tired of the Warriors. I think a lot of people didn't watch. The NBA ratings tanked this season. A lot of that is probably due to the smaller markets and all that. But what a weird way for the season to end.
You feel for Klay Thompson.
Ugh.
Did you read the article about how he was keeping up? You know, he got – his so he left the arena. Mm-hmm. You know, they were heading to Berkeley to get an MRI done. He was riding in his brother's car, and he was following the game on the NBA app. They wheeled him into the imaging center.
Wait, I'm sorry. His brother's car?
Yeah.
The Warriors didn't have, like, an official team vehicle? Like,
no.
He hobbled out and got in the car with his brother?
He took his crutches, got into his brother's car. His family followed behind in their own car.
I mean, the Warriors seem like a really low-rent organization.
Did the Warriors not, like, at least send a guy, like a janitor or something to check on him?
He went to Berkeley. As he was getting on the MRI table, he was watching it. They were up. He went into the MRI. Once he got done with the imaging, like 20 minutes later, he comes back out, and the first thing he asked his brother is, did we win? And that's when he found out they lost.
Ugh. And then he found out his ACL was blown.
Well, that too.
Yeah, double whammy.
That's new. I mean, that,
when you saw him land.
No, he didn't, because he came back. Well, he came back, and then in the when he first went back there, they said his dad was there, and he was asking him, "Did you hear anything pop? Did you hear anything pop?" And he said, "No."
He said he was jumping around trying to get back. He did a full sprint back onto the court, and he tried to stay on the court. If Boogie would not have got the intentional foul, he might have been out there for a play or two.
Probably would have been bad. I would say when his ACL popped, number one, he didn't hear it pop, and the other thing is that it does that deal that when it sheared the nerve. Like sometimes they say,
"I need some." I'm sorry, I need a Dr. Bear theme. There has to be some music.
Yeah, I agree.
I need the ER theme for Dr. Bear to go. It's too good. It's happening too often.
No, I'm just telling you, sometimes if you blow your ACL, it hurts a lot. It doesn't hurt.
He said he got back to the locker room. This is according to Ramona, I forgot her last name from ESPN. They got back to the locker room. He finally sat down for a second. That's when his knee just stiffened up, started swelling, and that's when he found, I'm not going back into the game. And he the cool thing about when he was walking off the court to go back to the locker room, he looked at Steve Kerr and said, "I'll be back in 2 minutes.
And that was it.
The guy wanted to play.
It's probably going to be 10 months to a year before we see you again, big boy.
They could have popped him out on the side of the court and just had him just shoot threes.
Speaking of Bear, we need the we need the Bears U.S. Open. Do you have a leaderboard update, Center?
I will in the next segment.
No, we need it now. I'll give you some time. This is the A block, and the U.S. Open is happening right now, and Tiger is playing well, or at least he was when I left the house. We need to know.
See Steph Curry FaceTiming Drake after the game.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I don't know. That kind of makes me – that puts me in Bears camp. I kind of hate that.
I just don't like Drake.
Carrie Blackshear comes to town this weekend. What do you think is going through some of the minds of the guys that are presumably on the end of the bench?
You're trying to talk him out of coming.
You don't want to come here, man. Coach Barnes sucks.
Yo, man, let me take you off to the side real quick.
We're not going to be very good next year.
Yeah. We suck, dude. Yeah. Training staff's horrible. The food's gross.
Yeah. Weather's not any good here. The fans are rude. You look ugly in orange.
Yeah,
it's got to be a weird situation for everybody involved over there. But Terry Blackshear comes to town. Who knows? Maybe this is a moot point. Maybe he's going to Kentucky. I'm kind of taking a wait-and-see approach with it. I understand there's a lot of optimism. Some people even think that Tennessee's going to get Terry Blackshear. I'm just going to believe it when I see it. He says he's going to go to Kentucky, I believe, after this. I will believe that Tennessee beats out a player that Cal wants. And apparently Penny Hardaway is throwing his – I don't see him going to Memphis.
No.
But apparently they're going to shoot their shot as well. Virginia Tech still wants to keep him. Florida wants him. It will be interesting to see what Kerry Blackshear decides to do, but there's no doubt he would have – a huge impact on next year's team. Bear, are you ready? Let's go. Bears U.S. Open. Scoreboard. Leaderboard. Update.
To the clubhouse.
Center.
Yeah. All right, Russ. All right. All right, everybody. Justin Rose is the current leader at -7. Through 13, he's -1 on the day. Aaron Wise is at tied for second with Ricky Fowler at -5. Oh, God, what'd I do? I did it again. There we go. Louis Oosthuizen is at -5 as well.
Louis who?
Shut up. Xander Schauffele. I'm seriously going to cut you guys. Chez Reavy.
You're making that up.
No, I'm not. No, he's at -4 along with Chesson Hadley.
Chez Reavy? Reavy?
Yeah. Henrik Stenson tied for 6 along with Francesco Molinari at -4. Brooks Koepka is at -3 through 15. He's -1 for the day. Kuchar's tied. There's a big knot of guys at -3. Some notables in that crew are Rory McIlroy, Adam Scott, Kuch, and Emiliano Grillo. Jim Furyk apparently is still playing competitive golf.
He's, steroids.
He's tied for eighth along with Audrey Arnaus, Jordan Spieth, and one Eldrick Tiger Woods.
Tigers, five some, back.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys. Sergio's in that crew. Graham McDowell, John Rahm. Let's see if we can. Jason Day's at minus one. Some other notables. Zach Johnson at minus one, and I'm out of time.
Okay.
Need to get some country of origins in there.
That's good. That's
good. They don't have this. I decided to go with a website that had the full names.
Some low scores for the U.S. Open. Some low scores for this tournament. Usually, like,
what do you mean low? You mean high scores?
No, I mean low. Like, usually the winner is like one or two under. Like, remember?
Well, I mean, it's
was
Pebble,
it last
Beach.
Year?
Pebble Beach isn't as. I mean, it gives up some scores, or historically speaking,
does.
I mean, what Tiger go like 18 under that year? He won.
Yeah, and he was the only guy under par.
I mean, typically they set the U.S. Open up to play as close to even par as they can. But
that's what I'm saying. It seems like there are a lot of guys. I don't know.
I mean, there's a bunch of guys. I mean, Justin Rose is out there at minus seven. There's a handful of guys at minus five, but the majority of these guys are at minus from minus one to minus three.
The projected cut right now is one over, which seems like a very low number. John Hodge, the Drive's resident golf guru, will join in the 4 o'clock hour to give us some perspective on what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, if John tells me that, I'll believe it. But I'm kind of taking everything you say about it with a grain of salt right now, Russ.
Coming up, don't know what you're talking about, but I'll just move on. Speaking of Eddie George, who joins in hour number three today after he will have his number retired coming up this season by my Titans and possibly soon to be Bears Titans too.
It'd be a lot more likely for me to rejoin the fold if you drop that out of your repertoire.
I can't. It's too ingrained now.
It's obnoxious.
Speaking of jersey numbers being retired, which Tennessee football player, if any, should have their jersey number retired next?
Next?
Ooh. Next.
I don't know about retiring it, but I definitely think Inky Johnson should be elevated.
He was not on my list.
Inky should be elevated to a, you have to do something extremely special to get to wear that number.
All right. We'll let you think about it during the break here at your Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question of the Day. Coming up next on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Stay with us.
The Drive. This is The Drive. It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question of the Day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
Which Tennessee legend should have his number retired next? I've got one, two, three, four, five. I've got five names here. And if you don't think any more numbers should be retired, then I kind of lean that way. Like,
who's
you
retired
can,
right
you can
now?
Make that.
The four boys that died in World War II.
The four who died in World War II, Manning.
Atkins,
and Reggie White. No, Johnny Majors is not retired yet. So my five would be Majors, Condridge Holloway, Heath Shuler, Al Wilson, or Tomoris Martin.
I already put my write-in vote in.
Who's that?
Bill Duff. It was a toss-up between Bill Duff and Billy Ratliff. Ratliff really close. Ratliff single-handedly saved that damn season.
Okay, I love those guys.
No, Brandon Bolesworth saved that season.
He did not. He got crushed back into Sterner.
What do you guys think? Any of those candidates, or
no?
We just stay where it is.
I'd probably say you can't put in Witten right now.
Well, that's an interesting one. I hadn't thought of that.
Wouldn't yeah. left early.
So did Heath Shuler. That's kind of why I take him out.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
But Heath did finish second in the Heisman voting in 1993.
So did Johnny.
Johnny Majors finished second.
But I will still contend Johnny finished in the voting probably where he should have. The change should have been between one and number three that year.
Who was number three?
Running back out of Syracuse named Jim Brown.
What were his numbers?
I don't know them off the top of my head, but they were astronomical.
Was he any good?
Jim Brown?
Just messing with you.
I think we put up to a fan vote. I think Al Wilson is probably.
Yeah, I mean, everybody loves Al.
There's just, I mean, like, there's just a special. He
occupies. We saw that when we went to that deal. We went to Kurt Majette's thing that he had at Hops and Hollers. And when Al Wilson rolled in, I mean, there were a bunch of the guys. I mean, just – I'm talking, you know, they had Leonard Little. I mean, Dobbs pulled up in that badass Maserati SUV. But everybody was hovering around Al.
What's Dobbs driving?
He drives one of those – good God, I can't imagine. It's a Maserati SUV.
I didn't even know they made SUVs. Thing?
Well, apparently they do for professional football players.
Bear was out there just
sounded incredible. That turned my head more than anything else that was going on that day.
Johnny Major's number was retired, I'm told.
Hmm.
Parker Pewitt says his number was retired in 2012. See, another one of the great tragedies of the Dooley Butch malaise is
we stopped paying attention to stuff. Yeah,
just forgot about that.
It's awful.
Man. I vaguely remember it now. But yeah, 45. They finally put that up there, so that's good.
You can't retire Fulmer. You can't retire Fulmer because he's an acting athletic director at the school.
Not acting, he is the athletic director.
Mm. What are you? Are you sawing wood over here, man? Is that going out over there, Trey?
Oh, this is a family.
You got a
habit.
Nervous tit?
No,
a
it's
twitch?
A family habit.
You're a leg.
Yes,
jiggler
comes from my mother.
Yep. You're killing me. You're killing me over here.
Trey, I've warned you, buddy. And you thought I was like, look, man, you got to minimize some of that stuff.
You're killing me.
It's going to be nice the first couple of weeks because you're new to the show. But once he gets comfortable with you, he's gonna start humiliating you on air.
Nah.
Telling you.
Killing me.
It's a leg twitch.
You're killing me.
You're killing me, Smalls.
It's a leg twitch on this.
Whoa.
It's a leg twitch.
Easy, man.
It happens. No, it's okay. Controlling it.
Sorry.
No, you're not.
You're not sorry.
Oh, no. I'm glad he stopped.
You're killing him, Whitey.
Yeah. I was trying to wait till the break. I just couldn't. I snapped. I'm sorry.
It happens, dude.
I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it.
It's like
crack rocks. You just roll on.
I mean, the only one I could think of that I would do would be.
Who?
What would be Inky's, but I don't think Inky would want his retire. I think his jersey would be more special.
And that's not a mean question, but why retire Inky's jersey?
Because like Inky almost gave the full measure.
No. And I don't mean that. That's not in a mean way.
It's the same reason that we're talking about Al Wilson. There's just he occupies a special place in Tennessee's heartstrings, right?
You're going to take 27 off Crouch right now?
No, but you might do that thing where it's like, like what they did with Peyton, where Rick Clawson was wearing 16 when he was here, and I think like they talked and it was like, yeah, okay, when you're done with it.
Do Tennessee players have a number like some of these schools do for their special players? You know, people that
I mean, the number
like
one
Texas A&M does with their 12th man, you know, give the number 12 to the most.
No, we don't have.
I mean,
one of those.
The number one, the actual number one jersey is. Probably as close as it's ever come, but even that got muddled up when Butch got here because he gave it. Who'd Butch give it to?
Heard.
No, he gave it to somebody after Heard.
Oh, Combo?
No.
Combo, I thought Combo wore
it. It was a non-impact player that wore it, got the number one. It was like a special team or something. Pilardi.
Oh, hell.
You can give Pilardi, you're going to give a kicker the number that Leonard Little, Jason Witten, Andre Kramer, Jason Swain, who else?
That's inexcusable.
I mean, if you're wearing the number one at Tennessee, you have to be the guy that's like decapitating Alabama's quarterback, Catching a touchdown that beats Alabama, catching a touchdown that beats somebody in like six overtimes.
So you're of the Lane Kiffin opinion that single-digit numbers are something special. You have to be a big player.
The number one at UT, yeah. Going back to when I was like, probably I first noticed it, probably with Andre Kramer, when he would decapitate people. He wore the number one. And then after that, it just seemed like, and really with Leonard Little, Witten, Swain and Hurd, those guys. Tim, I mean, if you're going to wear the number one, you better be making big-time plays in big-time games that matter.
One of the Faithful 37, this is their Twitter name, at T Bowman T, said that number here should be number 29 in honor of Inky.
LSU That's does that said. Where number seven is given to the yeah. stud defensive
yeah,
back.
Yeah, and then at Ole Miss, it's Chucky Mullins' mm-hmm. number.
38.
That's an interesting question. I mean, if you look, okay, here's my thing too. If you're going to throw Jason Witten up on the Jumbotron, wouldn't you have to, I mean, sometime or another, you got to retire.
I feel like the Jumbotron's enough.
Yeah. What would you rather be on, number retired of the Jumbotron?
Because I kind of feel like they threw Witten up there just because he was a safe political
yeah,
move.
Yeah, no,
that's exactly
I agree.
What that was about.
Rickard Ridge Barbecue, spoken out question du jour. Who should be the next UT player to have their number retired? 44% of the audience so far of 100 votes say Al Wilson, not surprisingly, number one on this list. Number two is Condridge Holloway. He's got 30% of the vote. T. Martin getting 23%. We've got 3% write-in votes. Let's see what they're saying. Oh, we got one for Bill Duff, one for Dusty Ishii.
Who?
One for Alvin Kamara.
Well, Dusty Ishii.
And two people writing in for Holloway, getting some love.
Retiring. Just retired.
Connors is a bad man. I don't know. I mean,
great player, trailblazer.
Would you put him up on the Jumbotron?
He was for a while.
Yeah, that's what I'm – yeah. I was like, is that something you keep up there? You know what I mean?
I would have put Atkins, Wilson – in the general, and just left it alone. It was the two most fearsome guys that ever roamed the field.
Yeah, I never understood why Tennessee put their head coach up on the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
Because Butch Jones is a megalomaniac. Are we going to have to talk about Butch Jones again today?
No, we're not. Yeah. No, we're not. I'm just saying, I don't know why.
I'll tell you why we had to put it up there, because he was an idiot.
Absolutely. He walks in that day. Excuse me. Yeah, one of my first acts. I'd like you to put my face on the Jumbotron.
That would have been an interesting conversation to hear. I'd like to have. He probably went to Dave Hartwright.
I think it's important for the program.
I need to be on the Jumbotron. Who do I talk to about that? And Dave Hartwright's like, I don't know. Like Nancy in the counting, and he like Butch Jones is why. There's like a recruiting meeting going upstairs. Meanwhile, Butch Jones is walking all over the complex trying to find whoever.
Yeah,
he's
talk
to.
Trevor Lawrence and his dad are probably in the complex trying to sign scholarship papers.
It needs to be a picture of me staring stoically out into the crowd. Something that exudes confidence and leadership.
Like some North Korean
want
dictator
people coming
photo.
Up the river to be able to see my face.
I want my face to be the first thing people see.
He was the one probably calling the crane company and renting them all out where they couldn't get it down quick enough.
Coach, we've got a 5-star in Nashville. He wants to come in on a visit this weekend. You want to talk to him? No, I'll be with you in just a minute. This is important. Hold on.
Nancy, the crane.
Get the crane up here.
Get my face up on that darn Jumbotron.
Phil, you're up first today on the drive. Good afternoon, Phil.
What are you saying, W?
What are you saying, fella?
How you training Bear Bryant, though?
Yeah, we're
doing
living.
Well.
I mean, there's no way you can get Skull Can's picture up there?
Hell no.
He probably doesn't want it up there.
I mean, all honesty, Witten's a great player, but he shouldn't be up there. There's been a lot more accomplished players that play here than him.
I just feel like it should be Atkins, Wilson, and the general.
Nobody cared about this until Butch was up there and we all wanted it taken down. Now it's like this ranking, you know, that has to be this popularity contest that's hotly debated around here. Like, who cares? Like, as long as it's not Butch, fine. Put Fulmer, Witten, I don't care. Ikey, T, any of them. Just throw somebody up there that people actually like.
Well, I see what they're doing. Though they're trying to help football recruiting by putting Witten up there.
No, that's true. Yeah, put somebody. somebody that people know. By the way, have you guys seen the pictures going around of bald Jason Witten?
Yeah.
He's shaved off all his hair.
Yeah, he looks like a mercenary from, like, Serbia.
Yeah, he looks like one of those guys in the action movies where, like, all the old action stars, like, Sly Stallone. Yeah, he looks like one of the Expendables.
Walks out in the field like, who the hell is that guy in that jersey over there?
There's no doubt Al Wilson was the spiritual leader of the 98 team. Even when he didn't play, he was impactful.
And a guy that came from rural Tennessee, you know, was just...
He said no to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Came here.
Did he really?
Yeah.
He was... it's weird, man. Like, there's a special connection between Tennessee fans and Al Wilson.
He's the soul of our program the 4 years he was here.
Well, a lot of the great players Tennessee have are from the state. I mean, even though it's not the greatest state in the world producing talent, there are also a few hidden gems. And the three guys that are going into the possibly being the Hall of Famer are Severs and Major, Bobby Majors and Al Wilson. They're all three from the state of Tennessee.
How about that?
I mean, Kippy's going in tonight?
No, he's going in tomorrow night with Cutcliffe, Manning, Kara Lawson, and Charles Davis.
And Kippy's from what, Sweetwater? Rockwood.
Yes, Sweetwater, I believe.
Sweetwater.
Guys, you think Tennessee's going to get Brocks here? I don't know. I mean,
I don't. Look, just looking at it, I don't think so. But why not kick the tires? Best way to put it. I mean, there's talks of Tennessee and Kentucky within a day and a half. You know, he's going to take two visits. Hell, he spent 2.5 days in Fayetteville. So it's not like he particularly is going to be spending a lot of time here in Knoxville.
Well, is he here right now? He's supposed to get here Friday, wasn't he?
I don't know. We're going to send Parker Pewitt out to the airport.
Pratt Pavilion.
To wait. He's going to be on Carrie Blackshear watch. Don't be too creepy. We don't want to scare him off, Parker.
Speaking of Parker, I think he's kind of an improvement over Rick Butler.
Oh, dang.
Now, you whoa.
And Rick just what? Walked in.
Wow. It's kind of awkward in here. How dare
you? Parker's informative and does little things. I mean, you know.
I agree.
Rick Butler, like me, can't pronounce words. You know what I'm saying?
No, I really don't. Rick Butler worked his ass off for the drive for 2 years, Phil. You used to suck up to him all the time. Then you're just going to turn on him? Parker's been here for 2 damn weeks, and you're going to turn on my boy?
Parker Pewitt, I've never seen the young man smile as much as he's smiling right now.
He's getting ready to do the Ric Flair strut.
Looks like he just got asked to prom.
You made his day, Phil.
Well, I mean, Rick Butler's got to get ripped because he's on the radio as a host now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Break him in early, huh?
I ripped all of y'all. I'll close my call with this. Houston Oilers.
Phil?
Houston Oilers.
Phil?
We'll never win anything.
Get out of here, Phil. You're not going to ruin this for me. I have Eddie George, one of the all-time great Titans on the show today. You're not going to – you Titans haters out there, you're not going to ruin it.
It's getting a little tense in here.
Yeah, now we got to walk out there and talk to Rick.
Yeah, I know, dude. He's sitting out
Parker
there.
Walk right out there and tell him Phil trashed you.
Wow.
All right.
Stay with us. The drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up. Jump in now. A couple lines available. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Big Orange Boy on the Twitter machine is questioning my assertion that Jackson, Tennessee is rural.
Yeah, it's rural. It's out there next to Brownsville.
Okay, I was going to say, I've never stopped in Jackson. I've, it's, you know, I've driven through on the way to Memphis, and like I might have stopped to use a bathroom once or twice, but I will not profess to be an expert on the situation, but I just always assumed that Jackson, Tennessee was rural Tennessee.
Most of Tennessee is rural, except for, I would say, like Memphis and maybe Nashville.
Memphis and Nashville. I mean, Knoxville, like the city, within the city, I would not describe it as rural.
We can drive like probably 10 to 11 minutes from where we're sitting right now and being
farmland.
Hell yeah.
Sure.
When I was a kid, if you went past Cedar Bluff Road, it was farm.
Really?
Yeah. When I was a little kid.
Farragut.
I grew up with a guy whose family used to be out in the boonies. Guy retired at like 19.
Yeah, so I'm not out of bounds there. Yes, Jackson, Tennessee is rural. No offense, and no offense to anything rural. I mean, like, I love rural. Rural's
like
quiet,
Dixon's
calm.
Rural.
Yeah, we all like rural.
Some good football players come from rural areas.
Hey, who? Somebody texted you that? Like Jackson is some kind of metropolis out there in West Tennessee?
He's doubling down. He says 120,000 in the county.
It's a nice little town, actually.
It's still rural. Like it's not population-based.
What drives their economy in Jackson? I would imagine it's agriculture.
I mean, they've got a nice area, but, I don't know. Listen, I'm not an expert. If I'm wrong, I'm sure we have multiple people in Jackson listening right now. I would love to have somebody from Jackson call in and let us know. Out of 120,000 people, I'm sure that we have several listeners.
Hell, thousands listening.
If you've got an Outback and an Applebee's, you're not rural.
That's
your standard for
really
urbanity.
That's
is that
like
a word?
South Alabama kind of logic right there. Applebee's and Outback.
We have two Outbacks in Mobile, Bear.
Ho ho ho!
Thanks, bro. Back off.
I mean, Mobile's just a
keep talking.
I would consider
that like a more of a fishing kind of driven.
I was impressed by Mobile's downtown. The one time I drove through there, because I was not expecting it, and it popped out like a beacon there on the bay, and I was like, "Wow, that's a pretty big city."
It's nice. It's beautiful.
Nice.
Goes up to northern Mobile County, up 43.
You ever
right
been,
there on
you ever
the water.
Been through Mobile? Have you been to or through Mobile?
The tunnel is scary.
I can't remember.
Don't knock it till
you try,
bro. I
went to New Orleans
for
the Sugar Bowl one year, and we left in the middle of the night, and everybody got drunk and let me drive, and I can't see at night, and then I think I took
a... That's good. What are we going to go? We got to drive home, and we're all drunk. Bear is sober, but he can't see. Do we let the blind guy or the drunk drive us home? We're taking our chances with the blind guy.
Well, I've got night... I'm really not supposed to drive it, and I don't see real well in the dark.
Were you about to say you have night vision?
No, I've got night blindness is what it's called.
I thought you were about to say you have night vision goggles.
No. Huh. No, but I took a wrong turn somewhere in Mississippi. Anyhow, we went to New Orleans via, like, East Texas.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, everybody woke up, and I don't know how I did it, but we were, like, I saw a sign that said, "Welcome to Texas," I think it was Texas.
Your ass drove to Texas not knowing where you're going?
Yeah, pretty much.
Now people are calling Jackson, Tennessee, the, quote, murder capital of Tennessee. I thought that was Memphis.
No, it's Jackson.
What?
Jackson's a violent place.
Really?
You don't mess with anybody from Jackson.
Draft Alex makes a good point. If there is a Chick-fil-A, it is not rural.
That is the biggest load of crap.
No, yeah.
Chick-fil-A's got a franchise, and they're trying to put them in every, you know, if there's more than five people standing around, they're going to pop one up Monday, you know, Monday through Saturday.
Okay, so like the most rural, like between here and Chattanooga, between here and Johnson City, between here and Asheville,
probably
these rides we've made,
Charleston,
lots of
Bowater,
lots
paper
of
plant is.
Lots of Chick-fil-A's on all these routes, right?
Yeah,
no.
Rural AF.
Yeah,
Cookeville, rural or not?
Pretty rural.
It's more of a that's more like a
bunch
rest
of restaurants
stop on the way
there.
To Nashville.
Yeah, you got a couple of nice drags through there, but the further out you get, it's rural.
It's a college town.
They've got two. If you got like two exits, you're rural.
So when I was in Cookeville last week, talking to Mike Keith, you guys remember You guys remember Larry Stone from the Titans Radio Network?
Yeah,
he's not there anymore. He runs a radio, and I think he owns a radio cluster in Cookeville of like four or five stations.
They put us on as an affiliate.
And they should. And So I went down there looking for the station, and I put it in. It was like Stonecom Way. So I just put it in Maps in Waze in the phone. I'm driving there, and I think, like, it's going fine. I'm driving through Crookville. I have no idea where I am, but I'm listening to the phone, right? So, and all of a sudden, it's like, you know, you're going to turn down the street. You arrive at your destination. And I'm driving through a neighborhood.
Right.
And I'm like, well, you know, radio stations are sometimes located in houses and stuff like that. Could be. And it says, all right, it's right up here on your right. I'm like, I'm in a cul-de-sac.
Really?
Yeah. And so I stop, and it's arrived at the destination. I'm right in the middle of this cul-de-sac in this neighborhood.
Sitting in a cul-de-sac.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm looking around, like, are there any houses with, like, a bunch of cars out front or any, like, are there any antennas sticking up? Nothing. This is just a neighborhood.
Some dad like me looking out a window trying to figure out if you're some kind of perv.
And so I'm already running late, right? And so I'm like, oh, now I got to – thank God for the cell phone, right? I find the place, this phone number, I call, and I'm like I typed in the address, and it took me here, and I don't think this is right. And they're like, yeah, you know. And so the place I was at is like 15 minutes away. Anyway, I go to this radio station, really beautiful, night, like one of the nicest radio stations I've ever been in. Like a brand new building, facility,
okay,
with new studios and everything. But, yeah, I would say Cookeville's rural.
I was there yesterday. I don't know. I feel if it's a college town.
Put it this way. If you brought
anybody.
Is there
a difference between college town and a rural town?
College towns can be very rural. Like Auburn, which you're familiar with. Very, very, very rural. Auburn is rural. Very rural. Auburn, very rural.
The Barner.
Such an ass.
If you brought anybody from like Atlanta.
Yeah.
Or New York or Chicago or something, and we took them to Cookeville.
Just dropped them off in Auburn.
We just drove to Cookeville and got off on whatever exit you want. It could be the best exit. They would be like, oh, my God, this is rural.
That's true. I agree with that.
They would probably – there are a lot of people pulling to, like, you know, you take them out to, like, where we are here, just west of downtown Knoxville. They would say this is very rural.
You drive over to – Carnes.
Rural is a state of mind.
State of mind?
Yeah. It can be different to different people.
I think if you drive a couple of minutes off a main road and all of a sudden you're seeing, you know, cows in a pasture, you're in a rural area.
Stay with us. Parker Pewitt, who's feeling himself now after getting a vote of confidence from the mayor of South Knoxville.
Chill out, Winslow.
Joins us next with the top four at four. He will get you updated on everything going on in your world of sports. Coming up next on The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Fan Run Radio.